Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We are back after Cardinals Day Baseball yesterday. They lost the final game there in Oakland. Who do they have this weekend? Do you know?
I think they're back home against Milwaukee, I believe.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, the Brewers. I was going to go, and I was maybe going to go down Saturday, and it's prom season. So, you know, the parent thing.
Chaperone?
Huh?
You going to chaperone?
No.
No, I was joking on that.
The parent thing is just, it'll wear you out. I'm not going to lie to you. Because, like tonight, I've got a baseball game I got to go to. That just never ends. And then it's like, it's prom. You know, I feel like if I had a daughter, it would be a lot bigger of a deal. But yet, then I feel like the horrible dad, if I don't show up for a picture. You know, it's like, even though I'm like, can you just take some pictures and send them to me and let me know how you look?
Mm-hmm. But that's tough.
Now, I will say this, that you talk about the father of the year. Last year for prom, I was actually in Philo because he had a baseball game that day, and then I had to come and do something here in Philo, and I had gone to Daly's Sports Bar. So I texted him, and I said, hey, can you just let me know when you're dressed and ready to head up to prom? So he met me outside of Daly's. And we took some pictures. And I'm like, I would say that's the low point of my life as a father. But I'm sure there's been others. But I'm like, yeah. So now I'm not going to go to St. Louis. I'll save a lot of money, though. You know, not going down there and probably getting mad at the Cardinals anyway. So
yeah, fair enough.
So you've been busy again today. I mean, I literally
every
just,
day.
I've checked out like of this stuff. And then I, about 2:40. Uh-huh. I look and see what all has happened on the day, and it
looks a lot.
Not a good day today.
Not for Illinois today, no. Okay. Well, we'll fill you in all on that, and I'm sure everybody out there is aware, but some news breaking today, an eventful day as far as that goes. There are some non-Illinois-related notes as well. Chucky Hepburn going to the portal.
I saw, for Wisconsin. Yeah.
On the note of Wisconsin, though, A.J. Storr has made his decision. He is going to Kansas.
Okay, he's following the money gun.
The money gun, yeah.
The money gun from Snoop.
The Snoop Dogg money guns and
wow,
dancing poles and
what have you. Well, I mean, there again, you can't fault a guy, right, for going to Kansas to play basketball.
No, of course not.
But certainly, you look out. This is the thing that drives me nuts. Like, you tried three times for Quincy Guerrier, and you finally got him, right? And it's guys like that. And then they come here and they have unbridled success. You know, they had an unbelievable season. And then you got A.J. Storr, who you basically had committed, correct?
You did.
Yep. And then he leaves. And then it's like, oh, well, hey, let's take another crack at him. And then you don't get him. So I guess if you go by the Guerrier thing, it's three.
We'll circle back around
strikes.
One more
yeah.
time.
Two yeah. strike hitter.
We'll see.
Is Brad Underwood. So maybe we'll get Storr next year.
Well, I mean,
they are one-year free agents, right?
You never know. It did only take two tries for Terrence Shannon, two tries for Kylan Boswell. That one working out for Illinois in this portal cycle. But yeah, we talked about it here within the last week, and I've been reporting on it on a line I inquired. You've had to do some reading between the lines, but I've been trying to give hints that like that was going in a different direction. And that's kind of been the word out there for the last week and a half is that Illinois, after some negotiations with Storr's side, his agent, his mom, that just didn't feel like it was going to work out for Illinois.
Yeah.
And that there were a lot of high asking prices for what that was going to look like. And just a guy that's able to command top of the market NIL value. And I think that that's something that Illinois wasn't necessarily against. Again, to reiterate, Terrence Shannon level, $750,000. I think that would be something that Illinois would have
felt
said yes
with.
To immediately. You want to come here and have the role that Terrence had, have the NIL money, just kind of trade places with Terrence Shannon. You're not that player quite yet, but you did just average 16 a game as a sophomore and have a lot of upside that Illinois would have been happy to service him in that way. But didn't work out. Kansas is a great landing spot.
Sure.
Obviously, deep pockets there with their NIL backing. And Bill Self's won a couple titles. Hunter Dickinson has the ability to come back for another year.
Yeah.
And they've already had a – I mean, is he their fourth ad in the portal? They've been doing some work
out
there. So, to no one's surprise, Kansas will be loaded. And Yeah. I would fully expect Storr to have a monster season.
Can I step away for 2 seconds and then come back? I gotta read Sal's text on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. He said, the key to prom is not being popular enough to go, ask me, I know. Well done, Sal.
Saves you some money that way. I'll tell you that.
These tuxedos, they don't hand away. They just don't give those away anymore.
No doubt, no.
I found that out. Last year he wore a suit, but this year he's wanted to go the tux route. So on... speaking of, like, you mentioned the mom thing with Storr, like, do teams send out, like, a questionnaire to the player and say, you know, different questions of what are you looking for, this and that, and then, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how involved is your mother in the recruiting? And if it's anything over an 8, Illinois just throws that one away, and they're like, let's move to the next one. How involved is your high school athletic trainer or whatever?
Yeah, right. Your personal trainer.
You know,
there's some buzz out there that Jaden Epps might try to re-up with Chester Frazier at West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Now, he's not in the portal right now. Jaden Epps is not, but...
Oh, I thought he did go in the portal.
There was a report of that, but it didn't come from someone that was reputable. I haven't seen that confirmed yet.
So. AJ Storr last year when it started, and I know it's new team. You know, you're going to kind of find your way, and that was a pretty... experienced Wisconsin team, obviously.
It was.
With Hepburn and a lot of those guys.
Wall and Crowell.
Yep, Crowell.
Desmond.
So it seemed like early on he was kind of finding his way, and then all of a sudden he just exploded and started. I mean, he had a stretch, it seemed like kind of right at the end of non-conference and the start of conference, if I'm remembering this correctly. He had a stretch where he was going for like 24 a game for like 3 or 4 games in a row. You talk, go get you a bucket. And I feel like Illinois still needs that guy, right? I mean, like Shannon was that guy. He could just go get you a bucket. Damask could as well.
Of course.
But certainly Shannon was just like, you know, the old Vinnie Johnson, the old microwave, where he'd score 6 in a row, 8 in a row, timeout other team. And it's like, whoa, we just went on an 8-0 run thanks to Terrence. So I feel like that's where Storr really would have added something to this. Do you think there's any at all, like even with Maddox, of saying, okay, they've got Kylan Boswell now, how do I fit in that? Not a negative against Kylan. But do you think that weighs into it, or do you think, like with AJ Storr, it was just simply like, show me the money?
I think it was the latter. Yeah, I think it was the show me the money as far as what I heard, and especially with who was directing and operating his negotiations and everything like that. So, of course, I don't know everything as far as what Kansas ultimately had to promise him or offer him as far as NIL goes. And look, there's more than just money in these type of situations in terms of fit, development. Like Bill Self has put a lot of guys in the NBA, so I'm sure that was something that was appealing. But I do think we talked a lot about it as far as the fit at Illinois. I think it makes a ton of would have made a ton of sense close to home. What they did with Terrence, what they did with Io, and then also like Kylan to me is the type of guard I'd want to play with if I was AJ Storr, because number one, he's a great off-ball shooter. Like, he's a really, really good three-point shooter, and if he has the ball in his hands, that being AJ, to go downhill, you can't help off of Kylan because you can kick it out to him for three, and it provides that floor spacing. And really, with Kylan having played with Caleb Love last year and even his freshman year kind of as a spot-up guy as a 17, turning 18-year-old at Arizona, he hasn't been a – super ball dominant, has to have the ball in his hands every possession type of point guard. So I don't think that deterred him at all. And I think same thing with Maddox. And I know we're going to talk about that. Dante Maddox, the Toledo transfer, deciding today that he's going to go to Xavier. That if I was Illinois selling it, if I was Dante looking at it, I think that Kylan's somebody that he could play with because both guys can be on and off the ball effectively, can both shoot it really well. And if Dante liked having the ball in his hands more at Toledo after this past year of not having Ray J. Dennis and being in that shadow, that Kylan's somebody that could make it work where he would also be able to push it in transition or run some offense through him. And similarly on that note, like Kylan off the ball could be a threat. You're not taking away his effectiveness if he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Did Illinois feel pretty good about Maddox getting him?
I think for a while, they did. Tim Anderson, the connection to the family, he's known his dad, I think, a long time. His dad, a high school coach up there in the Chicago area. So I think that was something that they felt pretty good about. I know that within the last week or so, leading into the visit slate, because it was this past weekend, Friday through Sunday, he was at Louisville and Illinois and then Xavier. So leading up to that visit slate, there was a lot of talk of, man, Louisville's got the biggest NIL bag, and they're throwing crazy numbers at different guys, and they've been able to add some guards here recently. And some of the prices, you know, I had heard from somebody that the Colorado transfer they just got like $500,000. So I don't know exactly what the number was for Maddox and what the difference was between Illinois' number and Louisville's number. But I know that was something that Illinois was aware of and maybe a little bit concerned about. Xavier, admittedly, I probably didn't put enough awareness or thought into, number one, Sean Miller is a really darn good coach.
Yes, he is.
Number two, has a track record of getting talent, both pre-NIL. I wonder how that happened. And then post-NIL, I'm sure he could still earmark some of that in the right direction. And then getting the last visit, usually in recruiting, can matter a lot. Sometimes it doesn't just lead to, you know, last visit usually wins out. But sometimes that lasting impression, that ability to close it can be valuable. So that's what Sean was able to do. And that's a really nice gift for them.
I agree. The one thing I love to do after NFL draft day is, like, when I see a report that has, we've graded your draft, you know, and it's, I just can't wait to click on it. Like, I am totally obsessed with what is this guy going to give the Arizona Cardinals. And if it's a B minus or a C plus, and I think it should be higher, I'm like yelling at the screen. So I ask you, because of that, like, there's more work to be done. Thus far, how would you kind of grade the portal moves? Last year, obviously, I don't know, going into the season, would you have, I think your biggest news was keeping Shannon and Hawkins, right?
Yep.
But obviously, you know, getting Guerrier as a guy that you had longed for a long time, that helped. Getting Damask, we still didn't quite know going into the season. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I think we're all in the same boat here. I think he was a guy that I thought he's going to come in and not do anything wrong. You know, he's going to help you in certain areas. And then he became 10 times better than I thought he was going to be. So when you graded Illinois last year after it was all said and done, you probably had to boost that grade up one from a B to an A, in other words, at the end of the year because of the way Damask transpired. And obviously late in the year, Harmon kind of tailed off. But, you know, he had moments during the season for sure, and Guerrier had his moments and on. But right now, and I say this because Jason texted in and said, no store, no Maddox. I like Boswell's ad, yet everyone else seems like a wild card, looks like a very young team and a ton of questions. Not panicking, yet kind of concerned. Mm-hmm. I know there's more to do, and I want to ask, that'll be my next question, is who do we look for next, I guess, as fans? But how would you grade it so far, you think?
It's a good question. I think last year, I'd have to maybe look back. I think Jeremy Warner and I did this exercise for a story, but I know I couldn't go in the A direction because they missed on what was thought to be their biggest need, which was a point guard. Now, in hindsight, obviously, Brad showed they could have an elite offense far better than anyone would have expected without having that true playmaker, that, or I should say that true lead guard, that true point guard with the ball in his hands. So it definitely should have been an A, or just based on the way it played out with Damask being a first team all Big Ten guy and Quincy filling a nice need at the four, and Harmon had a nice season overall, just really hit a wall there down the stretch. So far, I really like the Kylan ad. I think Trey White has a decent amount of potential as somebody that was a highly touted prospect, had a nice season at USC as an all-freshman guy there in the Pac-12, and just is coming off being in a disaster situation for Louisville. So you get athleticism, you get size. That's an older guy with multiple years of eligibility. Kerry Booth, I wonder what this next year is going to look like. I'm excited about the long term, and I don't think they're adding him just to stash him or by any means, but he's going to have to take a jump year one to year two, get stronger and shoot the three more up to his capabilities. And then Jake Davis, I think, off the bench shooter. So right now, I think it's so early because I think some of your biggest pieces, that scoring wing and another big, are really going to have a lot of say in where we ultimately land, especially the alpha wing, the Shannon replacement, if you want to call it that, because Kylan's not a, if Kylan's your top option in the offense, that's not necessarily ideal. I mean,
that's
a guy
fair.
That averaged 10 points a game thereabouts. That's not a knock on Kylan. It's just not kind of who he should be. Trey White, I know he 13 a game at Louisville or what have you. So I think it's probably a B start.
Okay.
And if they don't answer some of the needs, or especially on the wing, I do think they need another big, especially maybe a rim-protecting presence, then that could go down. Obviously, if they get a big splash on the wing, even though missing on Store, then obviously you can go up from there.
I know that Illinois did some miraculous things, and a lot of credit to Damask with the point guard situation. I am just so excited to know that you've got a point guard for at least one more year, you know, at least next year, I mean, not mm-hmm. one more. And hopefully for 2 years with Kylan Boswell. I just really think, and this sounds stupid because as elite, and I'll use Brad Underwood's word because it certainly was a top five offense, or what'd they end up?
Third.
I was going to say they were one going into the UConn game, weren't they, or something. So, you know, that's elite. That's elite. When you're number three offensive efficient team in the country, then that is elite. So it's stupid for me to sit here and say, well, I'm excited about having a point guard and watch the offense flow. But that does kind of it helps me kind of like get excited about next year, knowing that you've got that ball handler, hopefully for two more years. And now you just try to piece together everything else going forward. So I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to. All right. So who are some new guys? Booth is a four. Would you call him
stretch
a four?
Four, yeah.
Stretch
6'10", 6'10", stretch four.
Merez, who had a good game the other day off the bench for Team USA or mm-hmm. something. They beat the world team. I mean, you wouldn't think USA could beat the world, but we do in everything, right? We're undefeated in World Wars. And so it's one of those where Merez is going to be your five, I assume.
He'll be a five, yes.
Kylan, you're one. You know you've got Lawhorn. You know you've got Goody as a two that could if he starts. But what are some other names you think of, especially that wing, I guess?
That's a good question. I think of, as of right now, we still have, 12 days left of the portal window, and that doesn't account
12 days
for,
of Christmas. Here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I wouldn't call it necessarily Christmas, but it could be if certain names go in there. And that also doesn't fully encompass what could happen because you have grad transfers who really have no timeline. They could graduate at the end of this semester and then hit the portal and be immediately eligible. They don't have to abide by this timeline. So that makes my life even greater because it could be June 1st. And like, hey, look who's in the portal. Like, I thought the portal was closed for a month. Nope. Nope. This guy's a grad, so it doesn't matter. What I'm getting at is I think on the wing, you're probably waiting for more names to pop up.
Okay.
Because you really want a stud for that spot. I think you got a lot of money on the NIL front, having not replaced that Terrence type. And not saying that, you know, Kylan wasn't deserving of a good chunk of change. Same with Trey White and whatnot. And I'm not knowing what those price tags look like. But
sure.
I know they've had in mind being very, very competitive for a star type of big guard wing. And right now, I don't have a guy I can point to at this very moment because I think they are still waiting.
Big Def, now I know he tweets at us a lot because he puts a lot into this. And he said, I'm still speaking John L. Davis into existence, boys. And to quote Han Solo, never tell me the odds. So, I mean, is he a Michigan or NBA?
It seemed that way. I will say Big Def's going to like to hear this, that our buddy Isaac Trotter for 24/7 Sports National Basketball wrote today in his notebook that there's rumors that Michigan is in a bit of a dilemma on the money front with Ooh. John L. Davis, that John L. to come back to college wants a lot of money, which would be deserving of such, and that maybe or maybe not they can or want to pay him as much as he wants. So I think that
kind of like Illinois with Storm.
Yeah, right. That would be interesting. Someone that is very proven, 6'4", good size, could definitely play with Kylan. I'm not throwing it out there that it's going to happen. I think it would be a great fit if you want to talk about possibilities and fit and all of that kind of thing. But I don't know exactly what he'd want. Is he talking million type of range? I have no expectation that Illinois would want to go there. But maybe if this is going to move him off of Michigan, then things could open up.
Okay. Was he All-American 2 years ago?
I don't know. I don't know that he was.
Maybe not. Maybe not. It seemed like when Illinois played them, I thought somebody had said something about an All-American, but I could be wrong. Brian, Derek, what's up with the Wolf kid from Yale, Illinois boy? Also, what are the chances realistically with Jeremy Roach? We get him, and who cares about Storr and Maddox? Who is Jeremy Roach? I forget.
He was a guard at Duke last four years.
That's right. Yeah.
Had a really good season this past year, playing with some other young guys, Tyrese Proctor, and McCain was the other guard there for Duke as well. He was a freshman. So he's shown an ability, even though he's been tabbed as Duke's point guard, he can play both on and off. Shot a career best from three. I think it was like 42-43%.
Got it.
So he's in the portal now. I do think you could make that work with him and Boswell, because, again, Boswell's played with other ball-dominant guards or just other ball handlers, and similar to Roach, he just did that at Duke. So I think one of the questions that Brad and the staff are probably asking themselves right now, number one, they want to know who can they realistically get.
Yes.
And then you kind of make your strategy from there. But do you ideally, if you could have your pick, do you want a bigger lineup? Are you okay with having, or do you want to have maybe two straight up ball handling guards and have two smaller backcourt pieces like 6'2" across the board, like it would have been if you had Boswell and Dante Maddox? Or do you want to maybe have a bigger lineup similar to last year, have Boswell as the point, but then 2 through 5 really have a lot of positional size? And I do think you can get away and still have, you know, if your two guards are 6'2" and then you're 6'6", 6'8", and 6'10", or what have you, you can have that size. But I'll be interested to see what Roach's list looks like. I've seen, I believe, is Kentucky. I get all confused now. Kentucky might be on it, but who knows at this point. Anyways, he'll have a lot of suitors. And speaking of Kentucky, I think that Boogie Fland, if you're talking ball handler, he'll be a freshman. He was a 5-star signee to Kentucky, which, of course, Cal is no longer there.
No doubt.
I'm sure people will want to know, but Orlando Antigua maybe.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say flat, like, Illinois is going to try to get him back, is trying to get him back. If they do, then that's maybe a conversation you would have in terms of how that goes. But would Brad want that young of a backcourt? Kylan, even though 2 years of high major experience,
right, but a 19-year-old
Boogie would be a true freshman. I don't know. I think they'd prefer to have experience.
5-star freshman I'll take.
Yeah, that's also a good quote-unquote problem to have if you're trying to coach up some inexperience. He's very talented, a really good shooter.
Was the kid from Kansas State this year a freshman? Real good guard, scored a lot. Or am I thinking of somebody different? I don't think it was Kansas State. It was a team in the NCAA tournament, had a freshman that was really good, high level. They lost in the first round. I'm shooting things in the water now, and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I remember this kid, and it seemed good. Derek just said, not you, Derek, but Derek from Monticello, Reed Shepard, but someone had texted in earlier that he was off to the NBA.
Yeah, I haven't seen that news. I expect him to be going to the NBA as a projected lottery pick, mid-first round type of pick, at least the last mock drafts that I checked out. So don't think and anticipate that he's coming back to school.
He did officially announce like 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
That did he say whether he's going to the NBA.
And staying
and in. And he's hiring an agent, doing whatever to not come back.
See, that's the thing. It's always so confusing now because you can have agents.
Yeah.
So it used to be hiring an agent was the code word for, all right, we can cross them off the list. We don't got to worry about them. But agents now are legal in college basketball. But
is there still a different category, though? Because I thought there was that where you could hire NCAA-approved
agents. But there's not a list out. There's not like a public list of, all right, here's the list of NCAA-approved.
Not sure I'd want to be an NCAA-approved anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know that I'm carrying that name around with a lot of confidence.
Rule breaker.
Right, exactly. Like, well, I'm an NCAA-approved announcer. What the hell does that mean, Lon? I don't know.
I'd rather be disapproved by the NBA.
Right, right. All right, a couple of questions. I know we got to catch a break, Kyle. Will a recruit, let's say John L. Davis, will a recruit just flat out, Illinois calls that he just says, I'm not coming here? You're not a fit for me, or yeah, I don't want to go to the Midwest, or, you know, not in a mean way, but just, hey, coach, I really appreciate you reaching out, but just go ahead and cross me off the list because I am not interested.
I think that happens, yeah.
And you would want it to.
Of course. It's better that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'd
if
rather
it's not
just
going to work out.
Yeah.
Save your time.
Exactly. Are they, obviously they track this every day with people entering the portal. Is, you know, we talk about how like Josh Whitman or any athletic director, the good ones, well, I don't care if you're bad, you better have this. You have a list of like next coach that you might hire if yours leaves. Do you think Illinois has that list with regards to portal, like 1 through 5? You know, we're going to shoot our shot at AJ Storr, and now that that's not going to work, then we go down to 2, 3? Or are they already heavily involved in 2 and 3, and now that they lose 1, maybe they go down to 4? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I assume that they've got a list for every position and every need.
I would imagine so. It's on somebody to sneak in the oven and take a picture of that. Maybe don't tweet it out, but just send it on the text line. 217-359-2255.
We'll keep it safe.
U of I Line Only text line. But, yeah, I think that they would have, if not a physical list, but obviously something that's very much discussed in terms of priorities. And, yeah, you got to work even the backup options, the plan B options. And sometimes that's difficult to navigate because you maybe don't want to tell them, hey, you're kind of our fallback here. You just want to be able to work it, but not necessarily push for a commitment or try to just keep that one warm potentially. But I do think depending on who the player is, they might understand that, all right, that they're going after AJ Storr.
Right.
And I fully get I'm not AJ Storr. And if they don't get him, then my opportunity is there. So it also helps when you're a program that has more appeal.
Yeah.
To play that game. Because, you know, Kentucky's been able to do that. Duke's been able to do that for a lot of years, where they didn't jump in recruitments till like back when high school recruiting was popular.
Yeah.
They wouldn't offer until like the end of the summer, but then they offered and they would get pretty much whoever they wanted. So not saying Illinois is on that level, but coming off an Elite Eight and having NIL, and they've got a good sell.
Do you think like Hamer and Tyler Underwood and those guys, do they have somebody like Kyle that isn't as experienced but works in the office, and they're like, okay, you take this one to coach, you take this one into Brad, and it's another Toledo guy? Do you think like that guy walks in and says, hey, Coach Underwood, hey, I don't know if you know me, I'm Kyle. Oh, yeah, okay, I've seen you around. Here's another guy in the portal, but he's from Toledo. Get the... He like slams the door behind him. Who knew that Toledo would be like team that's like torpedoing us, you know, in terms of we want their players and nobody from Toledo wants to come to Illinois. That's just crazy.
He's choking Kyle, like the net that he cut down from the Big Ten tournament.
Underwood and Hamer are like, give him like 10 more seconds, then we got to go in. We got to go in.
He's turning blue. All right, bust the door.
Go in. Oh, Dad, it was an April Fool's joke. There's nobody else from Toledo. Timeline-wise, when do you think we'll know about Damask?
Great question.
It's just nobody knows, right?
Let's call the NCAA up right now. Let's ask.
Let's call one of their approved agents or whatever and see if they know.
No clue.
There's no clue, right? Nobody knows.
I asked Brad. Actually, that's something that we could run some today. Brad Underwood from the Coaches versus Cancer event at Gordyville. Number one, I'm pivoting here real quick. I was surprised how much I enjoyed talking to Bo Borowski.
Really?
Yeah, he was good to interview.
He seemed pretty insightful.
He was. Meeting Raph and shaking his hand was great. I didn't get the little sound drop, unfortunately.
That's all right. That's all right.
Another time. But I asked Brad, is there any update on Damask? He said, not at this point.
Okay.
He did throw in an interesting line. I had heard this behind the scenes a little bit, that he was obtaining legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if that waiver is denied, and I've been trying to see if they've gotten that initial word, I don't know if they have, that he might sue as part of their appeal. The NCAA has been losing in court left and right.
they may just be like, whatever, dude, just go play another.
Yeah, I just don't think he's got much of a case, honestly.
I agree 100%.
On the surface, but I get why he's trying, because he'll probably make more money here if he came back for another year than he will professionally. Although he showed that he could have a really nice career.
Oh,
in the pros and
go to
Europe. I mean, that's going to be a long, fruitful career for him.
I know you're not okay. I know we got to get to a break, Kyle. I know you're not confident, you just mentioned it, and I nor am I, that DeMass gets that 6 year, because there's already been someone that's tried to do this, right, and got shot down. Mm-hmm. 1 to 10 confidence that DeMass is back. 1 to 10 confidence Coleman Hawkins is back.
That's a good question. DeMass is back. 1.5 out of 10.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Coleman's back. 1.5 out of 10.
Wow, Derek, you're not supposed to.
maybe two on Coleman. Coleman right now, I just think
a wild card, though.
Yeah, I get it. He's emotional, and things could change, and he could hear from the NBA that you're probably not going to be picked. I'm not going to say that they're going to advise him, like, you know what, go back for another year, be 22, and then come back to the draft. But I mean, he shot the three well. Yeah, I know. He shot the three well. He had more consistency. Yes, the knee was bugging him. But I just think he's done here. I take him at his word there. Yes, money talks, but
sure.
If Illinois, from an NIL standpoint, said, "Hey, look, we got a five. You don't have to play the four."
Yeah, right.
But they, part of getting Kerry Booth, part of pursuing some of these other front court targets that they are and are going to, is to move on. And
yeah,
they're not holding their breath on that. And I think Coleman, if he were to go back to college, admittedly, I think he would consider the portal, but. Okay. He'd have to do that, although he's a grad, so maybe not.
Yeah. No, I know.
I don't know that for a fact. I'm just
Do you think Kofi regrets not coming back for his...
He said it on, what, Instagram or something? Kyle weigh in, the young...
It was on his Instagram story like a month ago. Someone asked him, what's your biggest regret about your time at Illinois? And he said, not coming back for a fourth year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a chance you're taking, right? With that,
you got $1 million.
Yeah,
and been the all-time leading scorer.
Wow,
you could have had a real argument, because even beyond now, you're going to get me on the COVID year thing and this whole like some of the records that are being broken and where guys stand on. Like Kofi would have been a true four-year guy.
Oh, that's right.
We're not talking about
a good point.
Fifth year. We're not going to have Cheryl Swoops or whoever come. I mean, we might. Come in and say, Caitlin Clark did this with five years and a COVID year. Oh, wait, she only played four. Wow. Dang it. Kofi would have been the all-time leading scorer at Illinois, probably a record that would never have been touched.
Yeah.
You could make an argument you should build a statue of him.
Agree. Totally.
Like, he could be a three-time All-American.
Wow.
He was a two-time. So he left some of that on the table by going pro and got... I think he got bad advice. Not saying he was just like, I'm done with school, I'm done with college, I want to try my shot. Some of that was definitely at play, but I do think he got some advice that, was a little bit more unrealistic as far as his chances in the NBA.
And he had a pad above Illini.
That's true.
Come on.
True.
Heath said, what do you mean, Lon? We got Beckman from Toledo. Damn it! That's it. If I even hear Toledo... Where is that at in Ohio? Does anybody know? Does anybody care? Is it north, south? Uh-huh. Doesn't matter.
I was just going to tell you Toledo, Ohio is where it's from.
Well, yeah, no,
I know. I'm just messing with you. I don't know.
Never bring up a Toledo thing again. That is yuck.
Holy Toledo.
Gosh, should we talk something other than portal and coaching and...
Yeah, you guys, let me fire a bunch of questions at you guys.
You want to do it after the break? We better.
Yeah, we do have more. I mean, it's not changing in terms of pivoting the...
I did want to ask you.
Topics, but...
Timeline. I want to ask when we come back, timeline for getting Antigua, if it happens.
Yep.
If it happens. And then there is some urgency with it, I would think, because then he could bring in, like you said, Boogie and... Was that his name?
Boogie Fland.
And others, you know, that obviously he has connections to. So, to me, it would be... Quicker the better if you're able to land Orlando Antigua, if that's it.
And we did have someone who wants your take on Jerry Jones. So I look forward. I just informed you of that prior to the show. I'm excited for this when we come back.
Oh, boy. Don't overhype it. All right, Kyle, I'm ready. Hey, the season for spring cleaning is here. I don't ever do that. Like, I'm not a big spring cleaner, but while you may be focused on organizing closets and such, Busey encourages you to clean up your finances as well. Evaluate, and pay down debt. Take a look at how much you owe, what you make in interest, and pay, excuse me, an interest. You can also look at what you make in interest on things. Review your budget. A lot can change in a year. Determine areas where you can cut back. Check your credit report. I'm always worried to check that. I'm kidding. Sign up for e-statements and paperless billing. Keep your house physically and financially organized. And one thing you can use is the Busey mobile app, because you can check balances, transfer funds, pay bills, and deposit checks. Also, their money manager, control and monitor finances with this budgeting tool, which is pretty awesome. And the Busey bill payments. See and pay all your bills online. Get started on your spring cleaning today with the expertise and innovative products and services at Busey. Visit Busey.com. Just get on their website and look around. It's a cool website. You can view there for more resources or stop by one of their many convenient locations. They're all over the place. Busey, member FDIC.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
So you live in the country or a rural area, but you struggle with internet, right? Well, not anymore. MF Wireless is your premier rural high-speed internet provider. Macomber Farms Wireless is a local internet provider. It started in Camargo. Their focus? Providing you reliable, high-speed internet with friendly and fast customer service. Just go to MF, as in Macomber Farms, mfwireless.com. Check for coverage. mfwireless.com.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
This is XYZ Insurance. How can I help?
I have a question about my home policy.
Okay, question about phone policy.
Home policy.
Okay, gnome policy.
H-O-M-E, home.
Technology is great, but sometimes it's better to talk with a real person. With Erie Insurance, you have a caring, independent agent who's with you from beginning to end.
We don't have any H-O-M-E's on record.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance. Go to ErieInsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Have you ever looked at a junk truck and said, man, that truck is pretty? Two men in a junk truck, trucks are pretty. They're pretty big, so they can handle large jobs. They're pretty reliable. Two Men in a Truck has been recognized as a trusted leader in the moving industry for over 35 years. Now we are proud to offer that same reliability to junk removal, and they're pretty fast. When you're ready to let some things go and that you don't need, you don't want to wait 3 weeks. You want it gone now. Go to twomenandajunktruck.com and make room for what matters most.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Per the old Google machine, Toledo, Ohio is best known for its auto manufacturing and glass industry.
Okay.
Some famous people from Toledo. Yeah. Katie Holmes, former wife of Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yep. She's cutie.
Anita Baker. Who else?
Anita Baker, good singer.
Jim Jackson.
Oh, from Ohio State?
Yeah.
The Ohio State.
Yep.
Yeah, Bill said it's right next to Detroit.
Someone lists Jim Harbaugh on here. This is what Google says.
Jim is from Toledo?
Yeah.
His dad coached all over the place, Jack, so maybe he was born. Maybe he was coaching in Toledo.
This is really important.
This is really important.
He was born in Toledo, Ohio, yeah.
Okay. Jim Harbaugh, same fraternity as my oldest son. I don't remember now what it's called.
Is that right?
I don't know any of that. I didn't join the Greek system. Nothing against it.
Neither did I. No.
Had a lot of friends that were Greeks, but yeah, I always heard that Klinger from MASH? Really? That's so odd. You guys have this stuff happen to you. Last night, was that last night? No. Two nights ago, we were eating. No, not two nights. Guys, let me start over. I told you that we thought Andrew broke his finger on his right. Yeah. Or were you in here when I was explaining that to Stevie? I don't think you were.
Well, maybe I wasn't.
So he threw the first inning Tuesday against Gibson City, and then we had a lightning delay. You know, again, we've had 17 games, one good day. And so that's 30 minutes automatically. So it spits rain, but basically the coaches and the umps get together and they're like, we're gonna get this going at the 30 minute mark. So Andrew starts warming up in the dugout again with his, you know, doing little, I don't know, he's got some like, looks like an archery thing that he like sits there and shakes or something, supposedly helps. I don't know. Back in the day, we're just like, hey, grab your glove, Lon, and let's play a couple pitch and catch real quick and you'll be ready to go. But he's got this weighted ball and he's going like backwards. So he's swinging it from like front to back. And he does it like six times. And the seventh time, he smacks his finger on the garbage can in the dugout. And it puffs up like it looks like it's broken. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I was out of my truck getting ready to head back up. And here comes the trainer in a cart with Andrew. And I'm like, I'm confused. And he goes, he puts his finger up. And I'm like, holy crap. So we had to go to Carl and get an x-ray and all that.
Boy.
And it's not broken, thank God. So immediately, like, you know, without caring if he's in pain.
Is that his pitching hand?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it's the ring finger. So the good news is you use, you know, your first thumb and your first two, basically. But no circle change tonight, I guess, if he throws against Muhammad. Right. Sorry, Muhammad. Don't be using that against my son. But what's funny is, like, instead of saying, like, are you in pain? Do you feel okay? And I Google how long will you be out of baseball with the broken finger? And I'm like, Andrew, this says 6 weeks. That 6 weeks you could be out. And so I of course am just mad already. I'm like, how did you hurt it again? What the hell? So anyway, I'm sitting in the waiting room because, you know, any kind of thing takes you 2 hours. And that's nothing against them. They're working their butts off. And MASH comes on. And which is funny because somebody just said that about MASH. But I literally sat there and I'm like, I never really put enough effort into MASH when I was younger. I admittedly was too young. I need to go back. I mean, that's an icon. That's an iconic show, right? I think the last MASH episode, is that still the most watched TV show ever? Or that maybe not. I'm sure it's been passed since, but that was just funny because I'm like, Radar was from Toledo. Okay, not Klinger. So sorry, I'll stop there. Oh, and my response to Jerry Jones.
Here we go. So if you're not familiar, Trilly Donovan is responsible for the original report. It then leaked to Twitter.
That's your buddy, kind
of. Yeah, you know. We cross paths.
That's awesome.
I've never seen or know what
nobody
it looks
has
like.
Seen.
Or, yeah, nobody does. But it's been reported that Jerry Jones has offered via Arkansas's NIL collective to pay Kentucky's recruits.
Wow.
Who are committed to Cal double what they were intended to make in Lexington if they follow Cal and staff to Arkansas. And that's very public and probably pretty beneficial to
yes,
them.
Big time.
So what do you make of that?
So I said out loud, are you shooting me?
Mm-hmm.
But I did not say shooting. And then I acted like I picked up the phone and I was like, hey, Shad, it's Lante. How are you? I mean, come on. We've got a guy that has more money than Jerry Jones.
Isn't that crazy?
Probably a lot more. Can you effort, Kyle, how much net worth Jerry Jones is compared to Shad Khan? I mean, Shad Khan is one of, didn't I say it? He's like one of the top 50 richest people in the world. You don't get any richer. Like, you don't get any richer than that. Lance, by the way, said Radar was from Iowa, Klinger's from Toledo. That's enough of that. We don't know who's from Toledo, but we think Klinger. Yeah, that's what Trent just.
Jerry Jones, $13.9 billion.
Gee, money.
Shad Khan, $12.1 billion.
So Jerry Jones has more money than Shad.
Man.
I did not know. I would have lost that bet all day. Jerry Jones has 13. Where did he get his money? Oil?
Don't know.
That's amazing. I did not know that Jerry. I knew Jerry Jones was rich. You have to be, right? But I had no idea.
It was oil, yep.
Well, I only say that because he's down in Dallas. You know, I mean, I would assume that he is richer than Shad Khan.
In 2021, Shad Khan was named the 94th richest American in Forbes 400. So,
oh, American. So he's really kind of fallen down the list here.
Shad Khan falling off.
at $12.9 billion.
Can't afford a couple mil here or there for NIL.
Would you even know it was gone?
You keep your coins, actually.
Right. And I'm sure he has done wonders for Illinois. I'm sure that we don't even know about some of the things, not only in sports, but in other buildings and other philanthropy. I'm sure there's millions of things that Shad Khan has helped that university with. And I'm sure the mouthpieces that know, you know, the Josh Whitmans and the board of trustees, I'm sure they would be like, Lon, just shut up, all right? Because he's done his part. Right. But certainly it just begs you to think, you know, it would be like somebody saying to me, Lon, if you could give $500 every year to SIU's basketball program, then we would win the Valley. $500. Now that's still a lot of money, but I could swing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could swing that. I'll stay home one weekend. I think I spent $8,000 down in St. Louis.
Man.
But can
Allegiant's not going to get that money.
Yeah, right. Two or three bars just close. I don't know. I mean, 500 for me compared to 5 million for Shad, it's probably about equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah. Where are we going, though?
If this is what it's going to be, where
you're just going to have.
I don't know.
There'll be another Jerry Jones, and maybe there already is, that's spoken for or not spoken for, who's just rich beyond belief, that's going to back their school.
Big time.
And make this just a ridiculous bidding war, where now, I think it's interesting, because there is two sides of the coin. One, where like a school like Illinois, who wouldn't want to dabble in paying players before.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
Against the rules. I'm saying that there wasn't booster interest to maybe get involved in that if there would be an avenue to do so. But now it's open, and now Illinois, with a very strong backing, very hungry fan base, a lot of wealthy donors and alums, can get involved and can be a factor. But on the other side, you're going to have places, some that are already recognizable like and expected, like Kansas and Kentucky, and to have a lot of money to play with, but maybe now in Arkansas, that can just out in the open.
There's no doubt.
Make these deals and make them crazy.
I mean, imagine if LeBron James would have gone to at Ohio State.
Right, right.
And I mean, what's he worth? You know, I mean, he would be able to just funnel cash. I'm surprised. Mark Cuban, didn't he graduate from Indiana? Or he went to Indiana?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know if he ever graduated, but he went to Indiana. That's where he discovered, like, his money was the idea of showing games all over the country, I think, right? Was kind of what he did. That's how he made a lot of his cash. I mean, I could see Cuban all of a sudden saying, I'm getting out of the – is he out of the Mavericks? No, he's still owner.
He sold some of his stake, but I think he's still the majority.
But I could see him just throwing – he'd be able to throw a boatload of money at the Hoosiers.
True.
Yeah.
We've been targeting Shad Khan. I mean, not yeah. in a bad way, but who got the Hugh Hefner inheritance?
Oh, that's a good point. Was he married at the end?
Let's see.
I mean, what?
Doesn't look like it.
Why would you be, right? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all those that believe in that, don't get me wrong, but it's just, come on. Well, there's one dude that graduated from Illinois that owns an island right outside of Maui.
Oh,
it's like
really?
Oahu, wow. or not Oahu, but like, we snorkeled there, and then I Google mapped it one day when I got back and looked. We were right next to Shark Alley. Why am I out snorkeling and diving into the water next to Shark Alley? But some guy, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he owns like half an island.
Crazy.
And that's like, I'm talking a huge, who is it?
It's Larry Ellison.
That's
he
it.
He owns 98% of Lanai, which is the sixth largest island of Hawaii.
I mean, you're pretty much made it in life, right? If you, like, you're sitting around with your other family members that, you know, your cousins from New York and everything, they're like, so, Larry, what is it again? I own 98% of Lanai in right next to Maui. Oh, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, come on. 98% of an island?
That's nuts.
Hey, there was an island that just came open outside of Port St. Joe down in Florida where mm-hmm, I just mm-hmm. met with the realtor.
Yep.
It's $50 million. So I started thinking to myself, I could maybe own 6 rocks. Can you give me just like realistically, what do I need to build a house? 100 square foot, 200, 300? What's that going to run me? $5 million?
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't afford the gas transportation out to the island.
Oh, boy. That's insane. A Muhammad listener said PayPal founder is an Illinois grad. Wow. See, there's some people out there.
What's that? Dippin' Dots? You know, that's the Saluki that invented that.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm proud of that.
Should be.
Yep.
As Sean said on the U of I Land Link text line, the genie is out of the bottle now at the NCAA. Amen. Just dissolves. It will be interesting. Even now, if you try to reverse it and say, no booster involvement, we're just going to make a salary cap type with athletic departments paying it, I don't know that you're going to get back to the old ways of doing things where there'll be, all right,
somebody's going to figure out a way around
to the letter of the law with the salary cap, but then booster money back to being under the table. And who knows? Who knows?
It's the old song. It's the Wild Wild West.
Sure is. But here of late, it's helped Illinois basketball, so you do have that. We'll talk more Illinois hoops as we go along. We're also going to have Aaron Henry, 430.
Yeah,
defensive coordinator, talk spring ball. Get his latest thoughts. There have been a few portal additions recently.
To get down to a...
Is that right?
We're way
I don't know if Zach Toby was one that they wanted, though.
I doubt it.
Anyways, a lot more to talk to. Stick with us. This is The Drive.